If we could open our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And tonight I want to look at the parable of the unjust steward as we find it here in Luke chapter 16. And just to give ourselves some context to what we're looking at, let's read the first 13 verses of this chapter. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accursed unto him that he had accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away me from the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said unto another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If, therefore, ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This parable here in the book of Luke is one of Jesus' parables. I've had many people scratching their heads a bit trying to work out what this parable is teaching. And as we've read this parable, we can see what's happening here in the story that Jesus told his disciples here. This rich man we see in verse 1, who finds out that his steward hasn't been faithful. And we see there in verse 1, the rich man is about to fire his steward. And we can see also here that the steward is accused of wasting his master's goods. And as the manager of his master's affairs, this of course is a serious issue and had to be dealt with. And we see there in verse 2 how that after the steward is told by his master to give an account of his stewardship, and if that account was no good, he would no longer be the steward. He would be fired in our terminology today. And in verse 3, we see the steward going through his options. He started thinking fast. And it's interesting that this steward does not appear to contest the charges that he's been charged with, wasting his master's goods. And so we can presume that this is indeed the case. This steward had not been faithful in that which was entrusted to his care. And it seems very likely that he had indeed been guilty of wasting his master's goods. And we note down in verse 8, he's referred to as the unjust steward. But as we see here in verse 3 what the steward was thinking, we see no sign of any indignation on his part with the charge of being wasteful. Instead, all we see in verse 3 is this unjust steward trying to work out how he can get out of this situation with the least amount of damage to himself. What shall I do? And we see him musing there in verse 3. For my Lord taketh away me from the stewardship. What shall I do? I cannot dig. And when he says I cannot dig, we assume he means to plough. And obviously this steward, this unjust steward, was unaccustomed to the hard labour of ploughing. I cannot dig, he says. And then he says, to beg, I am ashamed. He couldn't bear the thought of going out in the streets and begging for his living. So we see this man, this steward, he was in a tight spot. He was about to lose his job. And he didn't want to go out in the paddocks ploughing. Probably he'd never tried it. He didn't want to do the physical hard labour. He didn't want to beg. He had too much pride for that. But we see his brilliant idea in verse 4. And he decides to go to the people that owe his master debts. Money, perhaps you could say. And he takes the strange step of reducing their bills. He reduces what they owe, in order to curry favour with them, in the hope that after he loses his job, one of these people who are going to feel indebted to him because he reduced their bill, as we can see that in verses 5 to 7, he thinks that if he does this, he might have a chance that one of them, thinking this is a pretty good guy, I'll hire him. And you can imagine if you were one of these debtors that he went to. And you can imagine how you'd feel if you owed someone $100, say. And then the financial manager of the person you owed that money to came to you and said, how much do you owe? And you said, $100. And this financial manager said, that's getting reduced 50%. You're only going to owe $50. If you were the person in debt, you would no doubt feel pretty chuffed about this. And no doubt you would think that the steward was a pretty nice bloke. He just saved you half what you owed. And that's what this steward did. And then in verse 8 we see perhaps the strangest part of this story. We see the Lord in verse 8, his master, commending this unjust steward. He saw what this unjust steward did and he commends him for it. And so you can see there's a few questions straight away in our minds as we consider this story, this parable that the Lord shared to his disciples here. Now, when you open a passage of scripture, and sometimes there's some difficult passages of scripture, there's always 101 different ideas and thoughts out there when you start researching on how the passage of scripture should be interpreted or what we can get out of it. And there's 101 people who perhaps all have a different slant on this parable tonight and what it means for us. What can we gain out of this set of events here that the Lord shared? Tonight I want to mainly focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ applied in the remaining verses of the chapter, but it does help if we have a clear understanding what is happening in this parable here of the unjust steward. In our culture, where we live today, this man, the rich man, you would call him an employer, and he employs a man, such, and we would call them a financial manager, and that person would keep track of the rich man's monies, the ins and outs, who owed him this, and he would do the invoices and be in charge of collecting what was owed to his employer. And the employer would pay the financial manager an agreed wage and he'd have a contract. If that financial manager was caught reducing the bills that his boss, his customers owed to the boss, if he was caught, he would most likely be fired on the spot, might even find himself in jail for fraud or such like offences. And this is probably the way we can think about this parable. But the problem is, we need to think about this parable in relation to how things worked in the Bible times. And it was a little bit different to what we have today. And in this time slot, if you like, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, the master, who's the employer, did not pay the steward a wage. Instead, the steward made his money by adding his fees onto the bills that were given to his master's debtors, the customers. So just say the master was billing a customer, as it's written in here, 100 measures of wheat. The steward was allowed to add to the bill for his living. That was how he gained his income. Which reminds us of the tax collectors of that day. Remember Zacchaeus, one of the tax collectors of the Lord's day here on earth. And remember from the story of Zacchaeus how he cheated the people by charging them more than he should have and pocketing the extra for himself. And so it seems this is the way it worked in these times. The customer receives a bill from the steward, and the customer doesn't know what percentage of that bill is the master's and what percentage of the bill the steward's add on for his income. And so I don't know what percentage, whether they worked on percentages or what, but say the steward added 10% on the bill for himself, and then the total bill would have been presented to the customer. And it appears it's probably quite possible this unjust steward, if he was wasting his master's goods, he quite probably was charging too much to the customers. He might have been adding 50% to the bills or more. And as this steward in our parable is called unjust, and he is accused of wasting his master's goods, we can assume that he also was probably overcharging the customers. So with that in mind, we can gain a better understanding of the unjust steward and how it worked in that time. And so this steward, realising that he would be soon without a job, he makes some deals by reducing the debt owed by several of his master's debtors, in the hope that these debtors would perhaps give him a job when he was fired from his current master. And probably what he was doing is he was taking off the amount that was owed to him on these bills. And so when he said unto them, take thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50, that was probably most likely the amount they actually owed the master. He took off what he would have got. He took out his cut. And so now that we have this parable a little bit clearer in our minds and we understand what is happening here, let's think about what the Lord Jesus Christ said and how he applied the application of this parable. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ's first comment in the last part of verse 8 there. And it says, for the children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. When you first read that, you could think that Jesus is commending the actions of this unjust steward. However, if you think about what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, he's drawing a contrast between the children of the world, which is unbelievers, and the children of light, believers. And the Lord Jesus Christ here says, the children of this world, like this unjust steward I've just told you about, these children of the world are wiser than you, the children of light. You know, you consider this unjust steward here. He's a bit like politicians of today. He sees a rough patch coming up. He sees trouble on the horizon. And he starts thinking about how he can wrangle it and how he can come out fairly unscathed. Think about it. It's happening all the time, not just in politics, but in business deals, in private deals. The unjust stewards of this world are really good at dodging the flak, dodging the problems, coming out the other side seemingly unscathed. And the unbelievers around us in this world are wiser in the things of the world than we as believers are about the things of the world to come. The unjust steward, once he knew he was going to be out of work, he started organising, wrangling, scheming how to get other folk to be in debt to him, to secure his future. And he made friends of his master's debtors, who would then feel obliged to care for him once he lost his job. So what exactly does this have to do with believers about being wise in the life to come? Look further and let's look at verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Another confusing verse if you think about it. You might be thinking, hang on, make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness? What? Make friends of the money of the unrighteous? And that's what mammon means. It means money or treasure, valuable things. And we see here the Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging the children of light to make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Money, treasures. And note the last part of verse 9, where he said that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And we see the unjust steward's method here. He made friends so that when everything failed, his future was secure. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is encouraging us as children of light to use the mammon that we have access to in this world wisely. And we see here that we can use this mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, when you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, this unjust steward had managed his affairs to secure his future comfort for himself here on earth. He found friends to look after him past the time when he would be without a job. And he would not be destitute. He would not be without comfort. He would have other employment opportunities. He was looking after his earthly future, and he did it very well. And so when our Saviour says here to use our mammon, the earthly treasures we have, we can use these things to invest in our future. Not our earthly future, our eternal future. An investment that goes beyond the time we have here in this present life. You know, God gives us many things in this life. The unrighteous mammon, as it's called in this verse. We have money, we have gifts, we have abilities, we have families, we have homes, we have possessions. All mammon of the unrighteousness. And Christ's exaltation to us here is we need to use our mammon, these treasures we have. We need to think of it as our friend. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we know that we're to lay up treasures in heaven. We're not to lay up treasures here on earth. There's no point. Our investments are to be in heaven. And this is the great difference between the children of light and the unjust steward, the children of the world. You know, this unjust steward was able to very successfully look after his future, his here and now future, his earthly future. He secured his earthly future. He is very smart in that aspect. He kept himself in a secure position. He had it all locked up. He had it all planned out. And Christ here, in his application of this parable, is saying to us as children of light, we need to be wise like the unjust steward and secure our future, but not our earthly future, our eternal future, everlasting habitations. You know, we can use the mammon of this world to lay up treasures in heaven. so that when we fail, when we die, we'll be received into the everlasting habitation. We can use the mammon of unrighteousness to our everlasting advantage. We can use the treasures of this earth to our everlasting advantage. We can use the mammon of unrighteousness to invest in our eternal future. We can use mammon to reach out to the lost. That's an investment in the future. We can use the mammon to show the love of Christ. We can use mammon to make a difference for our Lord and our God in this life. We can lay up treasure in heaven. We can use mammon to make future friends in the everlasting habitation, heaven. When we fail, as it says there in verse 9, when we die, will we be welcomed into heaven by those we invested in? Will we be welcomed by someone who we invested in? Maybe even with time. We can consider time a treasure. And it may be time, it may be money, or even just using our abilities to influence someone, to consider beyond the grave. Mammon, we can use it. And just as the unjust steward used it to find friends, to secure his comfort, to secure his home, if you like, here on earth, by his wisdom in the use of it, so may we. But we look a little bit further than the unjust steward. We know that after we leave this earth, we enter eternity. And we need to invest. We need to put investment into that. Everybody prepares for retirement. Everybody thinks about retirement, but that's often as far as they think. They don't think about what happens after the grave. And it's true that earthly treasures can become a hindrance to us. And to many they become a snare. And instead of being a positive benefit to us, they become a problem. They engross all our time and our affections. And we end up not contributing to anything eternal. We get stuck in the earthly. And we'll consider more about that as we get down to the last verse of this passage. But we need to be wise stewards in the unrighteous mammon that we have access to here on this earth. We need to be wise stewards investing in eternal investments, that everlasting habitation which is still before us. The next few verses here in Luke chapter 6 continue wrapping up the application that Christ brought from the parable of the unjust steward. And in verses 10 to 12, we see some principles of faithfulness, the exact opposite to this unjust steward. In verse 10, Christ draws the comparison. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." We can see that the Lord Jesus is exhorting us to be faithful, not like this unjust steward, who certainly was not faithful. He was unjust. And as we see here in his exhortation in verse 10, we need to be faithful in the little things, the least of things, because then it's much easier to be faithful in the bigger things. And it's a principle that has been proved over and over throughout history. You know, this unjust steward, perhaps he saw his master's resources as a means for his own personal enjoyment and advancement. He feathered his own pocket. He was accused of wasting his master's goods. Maybe he was selling them on the side, I don't know. But he was wasting them. He wasn't faithful. Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be just and faithful stewards. You know, if we understand that everything we own is from God, and we realise that God is the owner of everything, and that we are his stewards of what he's given us, we need to be faithful stewards of what we have. And we're to be generous with what we have and use it for the benefit of others, thereby laying up treasures in heaven. If we're faithful in a little, then we'll be faithful in much. And the same, he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. If you're dishonest just a little bit, no one will notice this little bit if I'm just dishonest with that. You'll end up being dishonest in big things. Verse 11, Christ says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If we can't be faithful with the unrighteous mammon, the treasures of this world, the things that we can enjoy in this world, if we can't be faithful with that, who then will commit to your trust in the true riches? You know, if we can't be faithful with earthly wealth, which isn't even ours to begin with, you know, how can we expect the children of this world to commit to our trust in the true riches? And how can God expect us to commit to the true riches? You know, if we're unjust stewards with the mammon of unrighteousness, no one's going to listen to us or heed us or take on board what we believe about the true riches of glory. If we're unjust stewards, no one's going to take the slightest notice of what we say about riches in glory. We need to be faithful in all things, the big things and the little things. Who will believe us if we're unfaithful, if we're unjust, if we're untrustworthy, when we speak of those true riches that we have in our Christ, our Lord and Saviour? And verse 12 continues, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You know, if we're like this unjust steward and we cannot be trusted with mammon or possessions or the unrighteous mammon of this world, how can we be expected to be given something and trusted with it? Who shall give you that which is your own? You know, we need to be faithful stewards. This unjust steward, he wasn't faithful. And things came undone, unravelled for him pretty quickly there. You know, verse 13 is the climax, perhaps, of Christ's application. And it's a familiar verse. You often hear this one quoted. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I think, as you think about this verse, you have to think of that 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, we begin to have a problem if we begin to love the mammon of unrighteousness. That's when we start to have a problem. But if we can see it as a means to invest in our eternal habitation, to invest in eternity, to invest in heavenly things, then as Christ is sharing here to us, then we'll be wise stewards of our unrighteous mammon. Now our love needs to be towards our Saviour and our God. And then we can use the mammon of this earth to serve our Saviour, because our love is for him. And mammon just becomes a thing, something that we can use to serve God. If God is our master, then our earthly wealth will be at his disposal. If we don't love that wealth, it won't be hard to let go of, to give it to the Lord or use it for something the Lord wants us to use it for. You know, the faithful and just steward, whose master is God, will employ that earthly mammon in building up the kingdom of God. The faithful steward will be wise, investing in everlasting habitations. We can use mammon, but we cannot afford to love it. We can't love it. We can't love earthly treasures. So if we do, we lose our love toward God. We can use it to God's advantage and to our eternal advantage. But we lose all those advantages if we love mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, really we can see a couple of clear applications from this parable about this unjust steward here in Luke 16. We need to be wise. And we need to think about our eternal future. And of course, this starts with salvation. We cannot secure our eternal future unless we first become a child of God. If we haven't realised that we're lost, sinner, wicked, we cannot secure our eternal future after we die by living a good life, or by attending church every week, or by trying to be good most of the time and doing some good deeds once a week or something. No, we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and come willing to repent of our sins and ask him to forgive us and accept that gift of eternal life which he made possible when he died in our place, took the punishment for our sins on that cross. You know, once we're a child of God, born again into God's family, then we can use our unrighteous mammon, those earthly treasures that we have that God has given us. We can use them to invest in our eternal habitation. And we can be wise children of light. And part of that is we need to be faithful stewards of the unrighteous mammon that God has given us. We need to be found faithful. Not like this unjust steward who was found to be unfaithful, wasting his master's good, perhaps ripping off the customers, being unfair, being untrustworthy. We need to be faithful. And not just in the big things, faithful in the little things. God expects us to be faithful stewards. And if we are faithful in everything, then our testimony in this earthly place will encourage others around us to want to know more about that, those true riches that we have in glory. The true riches of eternal life. The true riches of sins forgiven. The true riches of a home in heaven. The true riches of investing our earthly treasures in heaven, using our earthly treasures to invest in eternity. And let's go back to verse 8 of our passage here in Luke 16. Remember the strange reaction of the rich man towards his unjust steward? And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. This rich man who'd been wronged by this unjust steward, he commended him here because he'd done wisely. Think about this situation for a minute. Here is this unjust steward who's guilty of wasting his master's goods. And he was perhaps even guilty of overcharging his master's customers on top of that in those business deals. And yet we see this Lord commending him for his wise behaviour in what he did to get out of it. Now, if I'd been this rich man, if I was this unjust steward's master, I don't know that I would have felt like commending this unjust steward. He'd just wasted my goods, ripped off my customers. Seems like he'd probably been filling his own pockets with a lot more wealth than he should have been over the last X amount of years. But we see this master commending the unjust steward. And I think this should serve as a reminder to us that we serve a merciful master. We serve a merciful God. The nature of God, he is merciful. The predicament of man, he is sinful. Unjust stewards, you could say. Unjust, unfaithful. And yet, the grounds for our salvation, complete trust in God's mercy and love. Complete trust in God's gift of eternal life. How often do we try to be dishonest with God? How often are we deceitful with God more than this unjust steward was? How much do we owe to God? How much more merciful is God than this rich man? God, our master, is a God of judgment and of mercy. Because of this steward's unjust behaviour, he is caught out. Excuses will avail the steward nothing. And yet, this unjust steward, as he strove to secure his future, his master shows undeserved mercy in acknowledging the steward's wise move to secure his future. We need that same kind of wisdom that was shown here. Wisdom to make plans for our eternal future. We need to think about what is ahead. We need to invest in our eternal futures. Who is God to you? What do you think of him? How do you perceive him? Is he mean, loving, kind, impatient, judgmental? We can all have a different perspective of God. But you know, what you think of God, how you perceive God, will determine how you respond to him, how you address him, how often you call upon him, how you view your troubles, and how much you trust him. The way we consider God affects the way we build our relationship with God. And just think, how much more mercy did God show us than what was shown to this unjust steward? Are we unjust stewards? I think, if we're honest, we're all unjust stewards. We often waste our master's goods. We often forget who we serve. We need to strive to be found as faithful stewards, one in whom our Lord and Master is indeed pleased with. We need to be faithful stewards, busy investing in eternal gain, that we might one day hear that well done, thou good and faithful steward. We're going to close with the hymn 275, I Belong to the King.